All right. Well, isn't that so good just to hear again and again stories of God's grace changing lives? Like, that's what it's about, right? For us as a church here at Devonshire, our mission is what? To help people find and follow after Christ. And right there, it's a story of how God has been doing that. And we get to be a part of that and just to have them join us in that. Here in the coming weeks, we're going to just take these next 3 weeks to just to go through a series where the focus is on what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ and what are some key aspects of that. And so if you're here and you're just thinking through and wrestling with, you know, what's this whole thing about following Jesus about, I think this will be an encouragement to you if you've followed after Christ for the, you know, for many years. I think it'll be a great encouragement to you as we're reminded, as we look at Jesus, what it means to follow after him. And I can't think of anything, any better way than to hear stories and people telling stories of what God has done in their life to speak about his goodness and his greatness. And so 1 Peter 2:9, it says that we have been brought out of darkness into his marvelous light for a reason, so that we might proclaim his excellencies, so that we would tell how amazing he is to the world around us. And so God is moving, he keeps on moving, and he's showing up in our lives, and we have the responsibility to just tell it and keep making that known. And so here we are. Do you ever feel like there is just so much that you've got to do? There is so much on your plate. There is never-ending list of things to do. You have to do this, do that. And in the midst of all of that doing, you feel like you're not getting ahead. You feel like you're never being good enough. Maybe you're not doing enough. We're a bunch of doers. And maybe you give and you give and you feel like maybe in some situations that you're the only one who really cares and that you're the only one who's doing. And you start to get frustrated with people. And we can have this idea even in regards to our relationship with Christ, that our serving him is what matters most. It's what we do and how much we serve. But this morning, as we briefly look at this passage that's before us, my main point that I hope that you get this morning is that as followers of Christ, we are called to serve. But our service must never take priority over spending time in fellowship with Jesus. Everything needs to flow out of that relationship. I'll just say it again. As followers of Christ, we are called to serve, but our service must never take priority over spending time in fellowship with Jesus. Everything we do must flow out of that relationship. And so if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke chapter 10, and we're going to look at verses 38 through 42. It's the familiar story of Martha and Mary. And so as you're turning there, here's a little bit of context of where this passage is. Jesus is on his way towards Jerusalem, where he's going to give his life on the cross. He's going to be raised from the dead. He's going to ascend back and go to heaven. And here we find Luke's account in which Mark is making some points. Luke is making this point about discipleship. It's in a series of three passages which address different key aspects of our relationship with God. It talks about how we are supposed to relate with our neighbors in the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is right before this passage. It talks about how we are to engage in our dialogue with God in the next passage there in Luke chapter 11 in the Lord's Prayer. And then here in this passage is talking about how are we supposed to view one another and our time with the Lord. And that's what we want to dig into this morning as we come to this passage. And so Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Luke writes, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning as we gather together, It's been an amazing morning already to be reminded of your grace and your mercy and your love that is beyond words and what we can express, but yet we try. And Lord, as we come to this passage now, we ask that you would speak to our hearts and that you would help us to hear your voice above it all, and that your Spirit would speak in such a powerful way to help us to see where it is you're leading us and how we can better follow after you. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So I know many of you, we've heard this story so many times over and over probably, and you've already got the point of it. It's a real simple point that is easy to get out of it. But what Jesus has to say to us here in this passage about discipleship is just too important for us to just quickly go over and move past. Jesus has come into this village, and we can't be sure how many are with him. At the beginning of this chapter, it talks about that there was this group of 72 that had been sent out, and they had experienced some amazing and wonderful things, and they've returned to him. And so we don't know if they're all with him or not. We don't know if there's this large group, whether it's a small group. We can't know, because as the account continues, the group sort of fades to the background, and the focus, as always, because this is all about Jesus, right? It comes in and it focuses in on Jesus. And we're told that Martha, she welcomes him into her house, and that's a nice gesture. Hospitality is such a big deal in this culture in which they were. And what Martha does here, it's a wonderful thing. It is a beautiful thing. It's something, it's what we ought to do. Isn't it what we would appreciate if we were visiting someone? I know, absolutely. What a joy it is, and a special thing. When the team was down visiting in Honduras, we were hosted, and the hospitality of Pastor Janiria and her family and the Iglesia Luz family is just amazing. You feel at home. I heard it from numerous folks, like you just felt so comfortable and at home, and it all had to do with the hospitality that we experienced there. And so what happens next here is that not only is Martha there in her hospitality welcoming Jesus into her home, but then we are introduced to Mary, Martha's sister. And we're given a description of what Mary does. And in the rest of the passage, what we get to see is that her behavior is contrasted with Mary's behavior. Mary and Martha just contrasted. And what do we know about Mary? Not much is said about Mary. Well, plenty is said about Mary, but does Mary say anything in these verses? No, she doesn't say a single thing. We're told that she just sits at Jesus' feet and she listens to him. And here's where we start to see the issues arrive, right? So what's up, Martha says. And it tells us that Martha was distracted with much serving. Martha often gets a bad rap here, but doesn't it make sense that she'd be distracted with much serving? Who knows how many people there are for her to entertain, that she wants to make sure that they are having a great time, that they are taken care of, that they feel welcomed. And so what Martha does here in welcoming Jesus into her home and then caring for him is desiring to be a great host. It's a normal thing. It's, of course, that's what we would expect, especially in their culture. And isn't that what we even do in our homes today? Whenever we invite folks to our homes, we want people to know that they are valued, that they are appreciated, that they are welcome in our home. And so probably you clean up your house a little bit. I know it's a wonderful thing for me whenever we have people over, because that means our house is getting a little cleaner. And so we do our best with the 9 people running in and out. And I know Kristen feels like it's never good enough, and that it's, you know, can't stay on top of it because there's someone else always just making a mess there. But that's what we do. There is work to be done. And so Martha here, we're told, is she is distracted by all that there is to be done. But then we get a little bit more of a window into Martha's heart as she says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" We don't know. Does she barge in front of everybody to talk to Jesus? Says, "Don't you care about this?" Or is it something off to the side? Maybe she whispers it in his ear. We don't know how this goes on. But I get this. Who of us has ever said this? Maybe it's whenever we were kids and our parents have asked us to do something and they're like, "No one else is doing anything. Why do you only ask me to do it?" All these things. Like, I hear this plenty now as dad. It doesn't seem like maybe we get to that point where it is a joy to serve. And I get this, when at times maybe you've felt like you're the only one doing any work. You see a need, and everyone else obviously sees the need, but you're the only one who does anything about the need and steps up to do something about it. Maybe you're the only one who cares enough to do something. And this anger and maybe this frustration at times can even rise up inside of us. And as this happens, we find ourselves getting more and more frustrated and angry and feeling all the more and more that our priorities are right and feeling good about ourselves and not so good about others. And here's the other thing. And when we get to that point where we think that God doesn't care, then there's a sure sign that something is out of order in relationship with God, because the whole Bible tells us that God cares about every situation in our lives. But that's what she says to Jesus. She says, Jesus, don't you care? And then this grows to the point where Martha goes on not just to say, Jesus, don't you care, but Jesus, let me tell you what to do. Jesus, tell her then to help me. And haven't we said that at times in our own lives whenever things aren't going on our way? Jesus, God, don't you care? God, why don't you just do this? God, why don't you just work things in the manner that I think would be best? Who's the guest here? Who's the one that she is doing all of this for? Didn't this start out by being all for Jesus? But as we go throughout this passage, what do we find taking place? It starts to not be all about Jesus, but it starts to be about Martha and what everyone else isn't doing. She's invited Jesus to come over. She's doing all the cleaning and serving. She's feeling like she's doing it all. And now she's saying, Jesus, don't you care, to the guest. And then telling the guest what to do for her. She's lost her focus and it's all about her, and she wants Jesus to get on board with her plans rather than her getting on board with his plans. Never happens to us, right? Moms, dads, grandparents, students, maybe it's in the workplace. God, why can't you just work things out for me in the way that I'd like? And Martha, here she is, and she's too worried about what other people are doing. And in asking Jesus to enter into her complaint, she assumes that her evaluation of what Mary's up to and how she's behaving, that it's right. But that's not what Jesus does. He doesn't come alongside, boy, you're right on, Martha. You're right. She should be doing this. He doesn't say any of that. And here's where we get to hear from Jesus. And he responds to Martha in the most loving of ways, because I believe that he understands what Martha's going through. He gets it. He understands that what she wants to be just right and being a good host, but that she's lost sight of the most important thing. And he says this, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. He's saying, Martha, you got a whole lot on your mind. Martha, there is a lot to be done. There's a lot to think about. There's a lot that has your attention right now. And you're pulled in many directions to the point where you are so troubled. And he says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. I just read that this week and I was like, you know, how many times is that? I can put my name right in there. Derek, Derek, you are troubled and anxious about many things. Maybe this morning you're here and you can put your name right in there too. And you need to put your name in there. And you need to hear that's Jesus saying that to you. You know, Stutz, Lori, who's also Vanessa, these people, Jim, you are anxious and troubled about many things. You know, whoever, just put your name in there. And hear him saying this to you in the midst of whatever it is you're going on in your life. You're troubled and you're anxious about many things. There is so much on your brain, but there is only one person that he goes on to say right now that you need to give your attention to. And he says this. He says this to you and me, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Only one thing is necessary. Martha had many things on her mind. Mary had one thing on her mind, one person on her mind. The most important thing wasn't about how much in that moment she could serve him, but rather it was about, was she willing to let him do for her what only he could do? What has Mary chosen? What is it that Jesus is saying that she chose? And I think right there is an amazing thing that she chose it. It's a choice. It is a choice that we need to make. We're going to be busy, and if we're going to miss out on this, then we're the ones who are going to suffer. Mary has chosen to focus on the guest and give him her full attention. Back in verse 39, we're told that what did she do? But she sat at the Lord's feet, and she listened to his teaching. She doesn't say a word in this story, but the visual of her sitting there before Jesus at his feet and just listening to him. That's what it means to follow Jesus. That's where it starts. It starts at the feet of Jesus and listening to him and his voice. It's a picture of discipleship. I just have this picture of Jesus, or of Mary sitting there before Jesus. That's what it looks like. Just listening into him. Who is this? Who is she? She's a woman at Jesus' feet. And in that culture, a woman's place was not at the feet of a teacher learning. But he says that she had chosen what was best. Martha, she's probably looking at Mary saying, Mary, that is not your spot. Your spot is we need to get in the kitchen. We need to get somewhere else. And there's all this stuff that we need to be doing and how it is more appropriate for us to serve. And Jesus saying, no, she's chosen the right thing. I don't care what the culture says the right place is. Here is the right place. Jesus breaks down all the conventional social boundaries. She no longer needed to be on the margins. And anyone is welcome to come and sit at the feet of Jesus. But not only that, the priority in that culture would have been about being hospitable and taking care of the needs of the guest, first and foremost. But there she sits at Jesus' feet. And Jesus says that she has chosen what is best. So what is the best way that hospitality looks? We get a picture of what it truly means to be hospitable. It is all about the guest. It's not about doing everything while the guest is there, but it is there and spending time and giving your attention to the guest. Talk about her posture and eagerness to absorb Jesus' teaching at the expense of a more traditional role would have shocked many Jewish men, but here her posture shows a willingness to learn and respect him truly as Lord. And then she just listens. She listens to his teaching. And to do this is to join the road of discipleship. It's not just to listen as to anyone else, but to take it in and to listen truly to him, which then leads to obedience to his commands. So what do we take from this morning? What does it mean for the follower, the disciple of Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Is serving not important? Absolutely, serving is important. That is absolutely a part of following after Jesus. But what Jesus is saying is the most important thing out of which all of that needs to flow is our being with Jesus. Where we sit humbly before him, listening to his words, spending time in silence before God in prayer as we listen for his voice. Discipleship sometimes requires that tasks be suspended while fellowship with him is maintained. That even in our serving, we need to be careful not to get fixed on assessing others' actions while we do what we are called to do. We need to stay fixed on listening to Jesus. Our culture is made of a bunch of doers. We are a people who like our task list. We like to work our way down and just get things done and do things. But if we skip spending time with Jesus, we're going to run out of the strength that we need to do what we've been called to do, and we're going to lose sight of why we're doing what we're doing. There's a lot on Martha's mind. There's a lot on your mind. There's a lot on my mind. There's stresses. There are worries. There are disappointments. And Jesus says this, come to me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He calls us and he invites us and he beckons us to come to him. Are you a mom, a student, a grandfather, a business person? There's sales to be made, there are bills to be paid, there are health issues, there is plenty to be had on our mind. And Jesus is saying, if you're going to follow me, you got to come and place yourself at my feet. And that's really sums up the gospel too. As much as we want to think that we can get it together enough and that we can be good enough, the reality is that we will never be enough, but that he's the one who is enough and that he's the one that we need. And so he invites us to come to him in repentance, admitting our sin and our need for forgiveness and relying on what he has already done at the cross on our behalf. And it's us getting aligned with his plans. Just take a moment. Imagine the difference that this makes for us. Just to pause and to stop and to quiet ourselves before the Lord every day and in every moment before we just go on and do whatever we have on our list. But to say, God, what is it that you're calling me to do? How are you leading me today? God, I need you. It's not what you can do for me, God. It's not about me. It's about you. Imagine what our church would be like if we applied this priority of putting first things first and being a church that is made up of a bunch of people who are sitting at the feet of Jesus. I pray that we are, I believe we are, but that we would all the more be a people who are daily setting ourselves before Jesus at his feet in that posture, just saying, Jesus, you're it. You're everything I need to hear from you. Hungry to know more. The other week when we were down in Honduras, one of the things that, one of the last nights that we did, actually it was the last night, there some of these lanterns, you know, you light a fire in them and then they take off. You've heard these paper lanterns. I don't know what they're called. Is there a name for them? Chinese lanterns? Okay. Good. The Chinese are smart. stuff like this. But we were out on the beach had these lanterns, and the wind was blowing, and there was this little spot. I'd never done this before. So there's this little thing that catches fire, and you light it, and it as the heat takes off, it expands, and the lanterns, they fill up, and before you know it, off they go. And I was thinking about that this week, and we struggled because the wind was blowing, and we didn't get the last one up. We ran out of matches. But we got three of them to go, and as we were doing this, and I was thinking about this week, you know, that lantern would not have taken off if that fire wouldn't have been in there and doing whatever and just filling the thing with hot air and filling it up and taking off. It wouldn't have happened. That fire needed to be lit. Otherwise, it would have just sat there on the beach and not gone anywhere. And the same thing in our lives, that unless we're spending time with Jesus, that fire is not going to be lit inside of us. We're not going to experience that, and we're going to go nowhere. We're going to go only as far as our own efforts can take us. But whenever we're spending time with him, and he's lighting that fire in our soul, there's no telling how far it's going to go. That lantern, it went out of our sight. It took off out into the sky, and we believe it didn't start any forest fires. And so it just went far, and it's amazing. And it's unbelievable what God can do as we stay close to him, seated at his feet, and how he can do something in our lives that changes our lives forever. And it takes us to places that we couldn't ever dream would be the case. And so it's such a difference in that we need to make this. It's the one thing that is so important for us. And we've got all these things, these distractions and these worries and these concerns in our lives that can overwhelm and overtake us. And the future can seem so unclear, but here Jesus is, and he's saying, right here, Mary's an example of what is most important. And so let's be a people who are staying close to Jesus, and there is no telling what he can do. No matter what everything around us, no matter what the storm is, if we're staying close to him, he can lift us up right out of it and take us and use us to do amazing things. And so I don't know for you. Maybe you need to put time with Jesus on your calendar, so that you make it happen. You put other people on your calendar. Other things get done. Put Jesus on your calendar. Spend time with him. Sitting daily at the feet of Jesus. It's about being Christ-centered, not me-centered. And let's, like Mary, make the best use of our time and our gifts. And it's not about being busy. Anybody can be busy. But rather, it's about listening to Jesus and then doing it. I want to invite Christopher, would you come on up and the team, and as they come, they're going to lead us in this song that I think is so helpful for us, that has stuck out to me over these past days. But it's really a prayer that God, you would come, that you would do it again, that we're trusting in your promises and your faithfulness, but where I need to be more than anything is right at your feet and trusting in you. And before they sing that, here, just may this be our prayer also. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks in of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. So let's just quiet our hearts, let's bow our heads, and let's sit at the feet of Jesus. Let's listen for his voice.